Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Mark chapter 10, and I'll read that for us. Mark chapter 10. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up and, in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first." And they were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Amen. For today's devotional, I want to highlight the story of the rich young man, which is verses 17 to 31. This is a story that many of us are probably familiar with. There's this young man who is rich and seemingly eager to come meet Jesus and ask him questions. From verse 20, we can see that this young man seems to be doing what he thinks is right for living a good and righteous life. But then in verse 21, Jesus tells this young man, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Whenever I read this response by Jesus in the past, I was always fixated on his command to sell all that he has. However, as I read through and prayed over this passage, I began to be fixated on that last part of Jesus' command in verse 21, "Come, follow me." I think this command to come and follow Jesus is the core of what Jesus desired for this rich man. Jesus' desire wasn't for this man to suddenly become poor necessarily, but it was for him to follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus, to say yes to him, requires sacrifice, to say no to other things. So when the rich man hears this, it says he was disheartened by the saying, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. This man was eager to see Jesus. It says he ran up and knelt before him, but he wasn't ready to give to Jesus a certain area of his life. What are those areas in our lives? Maybe some of us want to follow Jesus, to say yes to him and to obey him. Maybe we're willing to do these certain things and make these certain sacrifices. But in this one other area, maybe we're not so willing to give up to Jesus just yet. In some areas of our lives, we're not going to naturally want to sell all that we have and follow him. In fact, the nature of our own hearts is bent away from Jesus. We can't sell all we have and follow Jesus by our own efforts and our own accord. Jesus says that that's harder than a camel going through an eye of a needle. However, Jesus also says this in verse 27. "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." So what are those areas in our lives that we don't want to surrender to God? those things that at the thought of losing them make us really anxious and really nervous. God is calling us to give those things to Him, to say that this part of my life that I hold so dearly, it is nothing. It is garbage compared to knowing and loving and following Christ. Let's ask God to give us the desire and ability to do that. Let's pray. Lord, you are worth everything. All of the things in our lives that we think are so precious and important, you are worth infinitely more than those things. God, I pray that we would realize more and more how worth it is to sell all that we have and follow Christ. Help us to show our affection for you in this way by giving back to you all that we have and hold on to, for they are yours. Holy God, you are our treasure, and we desire to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.